Lives. Returning to Matthew chapter 5, and just a few verses, and then we're coming to study God's precious and God's holy word. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, and we looked at this verse last week, the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. I forgot to mention that after the service this morning, we're meeting around the table of the Lord to remember his death till he come. If you're saved this morning, you're walking with the Lord, then please stay for a few moments as we meet to remember the Lord's death till he come. We're going to pray and ask for God's blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the words that we have just read. Oh Lord, what truth there is contained here, and Lord, we pray you'll write these words upon our heart today. I pray you'll open our heart to receive these truths. And, oh, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that the people of God will shine for their Savior. Oh, Lord, we're living in great darkness. Praise God, you have your remnant here and there. Oh, Lord, help us not to be found wanting. Lord, help us not to be hiding our light. But, oh, Lord, let it shine for Christ. We pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin today as I proclaim thy truth. Fill me with thy spirit, Lord. Give me help, I pray. Oh, Lord, bless each waiting ear. Lord, give us ears to hear. Minister to us, we pray. Oh, may not one leave the house of God, old or young, but they'll know what the Lord desires of them. Lord, we need thee today. Oh, draw near, gracious Lord, we pray. For it's in the Lord's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. And amen. These verses 14 through to verse 16, are focusing on the subject of light. And as I said last Lord's Day morning, the Lord used very simple, everyday things that were common to everyone, that they might understand the scriptural truths and principles of what the Lord is indeed teaching. Salt, common from the very beginning of the world. And again, light, as we read, marked the beginning of this world. God said, let there be light. Now, where does light come from? Well, physically, all natural light comes from the sun. That light was created at God's command. In those powerful words, let there be light. And therefore, we can say that all physical light and all spiritual light does indeed truly come from God. All natural light that we have around us is given by God. All spiritual light that we know and are blessed with is from the Lord. And in that verse in Genesis said, let there be light. And it says, and there was light. Oh, the creative power of God. Oh, the majesty of God. God spoke and it came to pass. Do you know what we need in every meeting? Do you know what we need in this world today? We need God to speak. We need God to speak. And God does speak through servants. And God does speak through circumstances. Praise God, he speaks through his word. If you turn with me to Psalm 33, just for a few moments, there's a little thought I have here in the speaking voice of God. And it goes back to creation. Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. He spoke, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. Isn't it powerful? Man claims he doesn't want God. Man claims he doesn't need God. But if God should take the light that he spoke into being in this world from this scene of time, man would not and could not exist. Man says he doesn't need God, and man says he doesn't want God. But because of God's decree, that man is breathing today. His heart is beating today. His brain and body are functioning today. But man, in his folly and in his pride and in his sin, says, I don't need or I don't want God. That's why we started the meeting this morning. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And of course, the sinner needs God. But don't you forget, the saint needs God too. We can do nothing of any profit without the Lord. And I love this verse. God spake and it was done. What God does lasts. You know, God has provided the light source for this world to last until the day it ceases to exist, whenever the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. God comes in all his glory and he will be the light of eternity. The environmentalists and the climate change people, they're promoting fear that this earth won't last. Well, we know it won't last. The Bible tells us that. The earth has not been created to last for billions and billions and billions of years. It's created to last for a short time. Soon the trumpet of the Lord will sound and time shall be no more. And what confusion there is today in the world. What confusion there is. We're worried that the earth is going to not be able to sustain us or whatever. What the Lord say? That seed time and harvest shall not cease. That's his promise. And you see, when you take God out of the picture, then any argument you have is not a rational argument when it's compared with Scripture. People are worried about how long the world will last, and they haven't one concern about where their soul is going to be in eternity or the God that they're going to have to meet. And friend, whenever we measure things by the word of God, we see the folly of what many people are living for today. And giving their lives for in devotion. Running around the world trying to promote this and promote that, that the earth might last a little bit longer. Friend, God's in control of the world. And you take God out of the picture, and what foolishness there is in the hearts of men and women. Friend, we need the Lord to speak, let there be light again, don't we? In the hearts of our loved ones, we need the Lord to speak, let there be light. In this gospel mission in Tobermore, we need the Lord to come in all his fullness and say, let there be light. In the darkness of our land, we need the Lord to say, let there be light, and there will be light. And that's why I'm appealing to every child of God in this meeting to come to the prayer meeting on Friday night, that we might pray, Lord, let there be light. What an encouragement to pray. God can send light into the darkest of places. When God first spoke those words, let there be light, there was darkness. There was no light. There was a void. Ah, but the difference the light of God makes. And friend, in the heart of sinners today, there's not even a flicker of light. There's nothing but utter darkness. They're walking in utter darkness and will go into outer darkness without the Lord. But praise God, God can say, let there be light. Whenever we come to the word of God, there are three things described as light in Scripture. The first thing is the Lord. The Lord is described as light. Turn over to John chapter 8 and you'll find that to be true. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Turn over to John chapter 9, verse number 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Turn over to John chapter 12 and verse number 35. And it says there, then Jesus saith unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. And then look down at verse 46. I am the light, or I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. A friend, the Lord alone knows the way to glory. The Lord alone lights the way to glory. He knows the way of safety. He knows the way of blessing. And friend, if you're going to be in heaven, you must walk in the light of the Lord. You must receive the light that he reveals to you, what he teaches you through his truth. The gospel light must be received by you. And I would say this, friend, in this world there are artificial lights. And you look up above your head and you see them and they're installed in this building. And that's because when it's darkness outside, the artificial light is turned on. That is not the natural light. It's not the light of the sun. A man today is trying, and scientists are trying, to try and make those artificial lights as natural as possible. They're still trying to do it today because nothing can rival the light of the sun. But just as there are artificial lights physically, there are also artificial lights spiritually. Oh, there are people and they appear to be preaching truth. And it appears to be the right way, but there's false light, false fire, false hope given. Friend, if the light that you're depending on and trusting in is not found in the Word of God, it's not of God, it's artificial, it's of no use to your soul. And friend, in reality, you're still walking in spiritual darkness. Oh, the Lord is the light of the world. Friend, the Lord doesn't ask us to follow a church or a preacher or a denomination or a group or a society or anything like that. He says, follow me. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And friend, if you're not walking with God today, you do not have the light. We'll save your soul. But then not only is the Lord described as light in the Word of God itself is described as light. And you know the verse probably already that I'm going to reference. It's, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice the pronouns. Thy word is a light unto my feet, or lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. You know what that teaches me in that little sentence? Lord, thy word is for me, that God tells man what to do, not the other way around. God tells man to do what to do, not the other way around. Friend, if we want to know God's truth, then we come with a humble heart to God's word and see what God would say. We don't dictate how we worship. We come to God's word and see how we worship. We don't dictate how we evangelize to God. We come to God's word and see how to evangelize. We don't dictate to God how people get to heaven. We come to God's word and see how he reveals they get to heaven. See, this is light. It reveals to us what is truth. And I would also say this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that lamp that they were speaking of, and many people who were over in Israel have got these whenever they visited the Nazareth village. It's just a little clay vessel with a wick coming out in a hole to put oil in. And that's what they used. And friend, that was the lamp that would have been thought of whenever this psalm was written. And the marvelous thing about that lamp was that whenever that lamp was lighted, it didn't show for miles, but it just showed around you for a few steps how to take the next step in safety in the midst of darkness. And that's the way God works in his word. We don't come to God's word and say, oh, there's where I'm going to be in 30 years' time. No, the light that God shows us in his word for us to follow and the guidance he gives us is step by step. Line upon line, precept upon precept, step by step. And friend, God reveals to you step by step how to follow him. And if God has revealed to you a step that you ought to take, you take it and God will reveal to you the next step. God leads us and guides us step by step. And then we not only have the Lord is light, not only is the word of God light, but the people of God are light. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians before we come back to the passage that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 4, verse number 6, we read these words. Well, let's actually read verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and out of us. And then I ask you to turn back to Matthew chapter 5, and that's where we're going to remain for the rest of this service. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world." So we've read that the Lord is light, His word is light, and His people are light. Now the Lord has just said, "I am the light of the world," and now He says, "Ye are the light of the world." What does this mean? Well, this can be understood when we think about the natural light source, when we think about the sun and we think about the moon. Now, we often talk about the light of the moon, and on a bright night when the moon is shining brightly, you can actually see quite clearly whenever it is a full moon. But the light actually doesn't belong to the moon. It's simply reflected off the moon from the sun. So in effect, what you're getting is the light of the sun reflected off the moon. You see, you have the greater light, which is the sun, and the lesser light, which is the moon. It is simply a reflection of the light source. And that is exactly what it is for a Christian to be the light of the world. Friend, it's not that we, in and of ourselves, are pure light, but it is that we reflect that light of God, that revelation of the Lord is reflected in our lives. You see, it says in Scripture that we declare the glory of God, just like creation declares the glory of God. It doesn't add to His glory because God is absolute in His glory, but it declares it or reflects it. The Word of God reflects that glory, and God's people reflect God's glory. So what is my purpose in this life? What is your purpose in this life? To be clean, that people might see a reflection of the glory and the beauty of Christ in their lives. That's what it means ye are the light of the world. It doesn't mean that we are the light source, but we're a reflection of the source of light. Jesus is the light of the world. And friend, there are three things I want to leave with you as we think about this. First of all, the calling. The calling of verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And as I thought about that statement, ye are the light of the world, there's purpose there. And in this world, we have light and it gives us many blessings. So what are the blessings in this calling that we are to be to this world? Well, first of all, light gives vision. It allows you to see around you. It reveals reality. And friend, if your life reflects and declares the glory of God, then people will see that there is a God. You know what the great problem is today? There are many Christians and they're living as if there is no God. Or as if the God of the Bible isn't their God. Because they're in disobedience to His word. They're living contrary to His laws. There's no difference really between them and the world. So their life does not declare the reality of God. But a clean life will. And friend, you ought to be living for the Lord because He's real. He satisfies. He gives contentment. He gives peace. And I'll tell you, if there's someone's living for the Lord, satisfied in Christ, living the real, authentic Christian life, that reveals to this world that God is real. It reveals that God is real. Are you living like that or are you just living like everybody else? Not only that, but a light gives warning to those in danger. We think of the lighthouses that shine out over the sea that the ships might be guided in. We think of the street lights that allow us to walk even in the evening and the night times in the towns because they show the danger. We think of the airport lights that guide the airplane away from danger. We think of the outdoor lights in our houses that we have up so we're not going to trip and fall. These reveal danger to us. They warn us of the dangers around. They warn us of things that will hurt us and harm us and hinder us. And a true reflection of God's glory, a life lived for Christ, will warn others about sin. Warn others about hell. Warn others about the danger of sin. And friend, those who are struggling today, those who are overwhelmed by sin, those who are looking for truth, ought to be able to see the light of God in us. A friend, we ought to be able to show them the danger of sin by our lives, by our avoidance of it, by our love for Christ, by our Christ-likeness. I wonder, friend, do you walk among the ungodly? And they know nothing of what it is to be a sinner, because your life is nothing like what it ought to be. I tell you, a faithful life and a godly life and a bright life and a shining life, it'll bring ridicule. And friend, at times it'll bring mockery. But you see, behind the ridicule and the mockery, there's an acknowledgement, there's a testimony. A light not only gives warning, it gives hope in the darkness. Remember when I spent a winter in Calgary, we were in the midst of snow, storms and blizzards, and they were down to minus 30, and often on the radio and on the television, they gave a warning if anybody was going out of the city in the car, that there were certain things you had to carry in your car, a rug or a blanket, a flask, some food, a torch, a phone, a candle and some matches. And the reason was, if you got stuck and you ran out of certain things and you were sitting there in minus 30, they tell us that if you lit a candle in that car, the heat and the light from that little candle will be enough to sustain a person through one night. Now, the candle doesn't give off a lot of heat and the light isn't vast, but it's enough. It's hope in the darkness to get you through the night until the morning when you go and look for help. A friend, we ought to be beacons of hope in this dark, wicked world. There are people today, and you know, the world tells you, try everything that you can to find satisfaction and purpose and a life worth living in this world, but don't try the gospel. And that's the mantra of the world today. You can try anything. It doesn't matter how vile, corrupt, or simple it is, but don't try the gospel. Friend, you know what? We should be living out the life before the people to see Jesus saves, Jesus satisfies, Jesus is worth living for. We should be the hope in this wicked, dark world. Look at the world we're in. There are people who hate much of what this world embraces. But friend, do they see you shining in the light? Is there a ray of hope? Do you bring hope to the hopeless? Beacon of hope in a world of darkness, because your speech speaks of Christ. Your life testifies of the Lord. Christ is seen in you. Are you no different? Not only does a light give warning, and not only does light give hope, but a light makes a difference. Look what it says there in verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It makes a difference. Friend, when something exists, it makes a difference. Think of a dark room. Think of the dusk. And the light goes down. You can't see clearly. And you go on, you turn on the light, and you go, wow. What a difference it makes. Friend, as I thought about that, I have to ask the question about my life. And your life. Does your life count for Jesus? Does my life count for Jesus? Do we actually make a difference? That's the great sin of the backslidden heart. Backslider in this meeting this morning, that is the great sin of the backslidden heart. Your life makes no difference for the gospel. Your life does not count in any way of spiritual benefit to any man, woman, boy, or girl. And make no difference, but the wonderful blessing is this: God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And in a moment, that which is wrong can be wiped away, and friend, your life can shine for the Lord. But I say to you, if you're a child of God this morning and your heart's not right with God and you're backslidden, oh, what a sin. Confess that this morning. Confess that this morning. That's the calling. Ye are the light of the world. But then secondly, look at the consideration, verse 15. Neither do men hide or light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, the purpose of the light is very clear here. First of all, it is to shine, it is to radiate, and it is to be seen. There is a purpose with light. Now, it talks here about a candle. Now, the word in the original actually means a little oil lamp. So when we're thinking about a candle, we might think of a candlestick and a candle that burns down. But in fact, it's really speaking, for the most part in Scripture, about a little oil lamp. And that oil lamp would have been lit. It would have been set either in the middle of the room or on a little shelf that was set aside for it to give as much light to the room as possible. We have to consider the houses of Israel at this time. Most of them were one-room dwellings. At the most, they were two-room dwellings with simply a floor and then maybe a little step up to the place where the family slept. But you're effectively in one room. And therefore, a light would have made difference in that home. Darkness, of course, at that time was a real hindrance, because once the darkness came, nothing could be done. There were no street lamps. There was no electricity. And therefore, the only light they had, and often especially in homes where there wasn't a lot of money to go about, the only light they had was one single oil lamp placed somewhere that it might radiate, that it might shine, and it might be seen. And the Bible says something here that you almost smile at. It says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." In other words, you don't go to the effort of getting your oil lamp out and lighting the wick and then putting something over it to conceal the light. The purpose of lighting something is to let it shine, to let it radiate, and to let it be seen. And there's two things I see here in this. Someone who comes and does that, first of all, we see their stupidity. Now, a bushel here is a 9-litre vessel. So it's simply like a bucket, and it would have been placed over the oil lamp. Now, what was the result of that being? Well, of course, the lamp would go out and nobody would see. They would still be in darkness. What utter stupidity to put out light in a place where it is needed. The fact that the lamp is even lit means that the person wants the light to shine, and now they've put a bushel over it. Friend, can I say something? The fact that you're saved, the fact that you're saved means that God wants you to shine for him. The fact that you're saved means that's God's desire for your life. Be ye holy as I am holy. You're saved to be Christ-like, and therefore to live in sin and live like an unsaved person and say, well, this is the way God wants me to live. What nonsense. What stupidity. Friend, that's not the way God wants you to live. You read the Bible. I read about the God of the Bible. He calls you onto holiness, not onto some ticket to heaven and then you live whatever way you want, just like the devil. No, friend, you have a purpose, and that's to shine. So it's utter stupidity for any Christian to allow their light to be obscured or to be dimmed by their actions. But friend, not only is it stupidity to light a light in the middle of a room where it needs it and put it out, it's also great selfishness. You think just of the practical illustration. Think of the room. Think of the family sitting in the room, some people chatting, children playing, someone cleaning or cooking or preparing or reading. And then one person comes along and they put the bushel over the lamp and the lights are out in your utter darkness. You see, what they did affected many other people. What selfishness. And can I say something? What great selfishness for the Christian pupil, student, work colleague, family member, or neighbor to be hiding your salvation. Friend, not only is it stupid, it's very selfish. Very selfish. Could there be someone in your life or my life that doesn't know they're a sinner? You say, oh, now come on. In Northern Ireland, we know about sinners and we know about salvation. Friend, we don't. Friend, we don't. I was teaching not long ago in a school in this country, and I tell you, I went into the school and I was asked to do an RE lesson. It was about David and Goliath. And I asked the question before I began, does anybody know the name of the giant that David, the shepherd boy, killed? Out of a class of 30, 3 people put up their hand. Out of a class of 30, 3 people aged 9 to 10 year olds put up their hand. Friend, we have a generation growing up and we're living in a generation that do not know the things of God. You indeed may be the only gospel message they will come into contact with this week. Don't let the devil lull you into some nonsense that goes like this. Well, I'm saved, but I don't have to do anything, or I don't have anything to offer. Nonsense. You are to shine for Jesus. You're to shine for Jesus. I'll be a sunbeam for Jesus. I can if I but try. And that's the problem. Some of God's people can't be bothered and they don't care that souls are going to hell. Friend, could there be a neighbor that you live beside and have lived beside for years, maybe even decades, and you'll be traveling over to Tobermore for a gospel mission, or coming to this service tonight, and there are souls on the way to a Christless eternity, and they've never been told they need a Savior, never been reached. Friend, you're saved to shine. You're saved to declare God's glory. Remember, we can't add to it, but we certainly can reflect it. So that's the calling. Ye are the light of the world. The consideration, what's stupidity and selfishness to hide the light? And then finally, the command. It says in verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look at the personal nature of this matter. Search your own heart today, brother or sister in Christ. Many have an opinion and a judgment on others. And that judgment that they have on others causes them to treat them differently, and often they're more of a hindrance in their spiritual life than they are a help. Friend, sweep your doorstep. Search your life. In fact, ask God to search your heart. Don't you worry about anybody else, but you ask God to search your heart. For the Lord says, let your light so shine before men. And friend, sometimes we're looking at others who, yes, maybe have their lights diminished, but ours is flickering and almost non-existent. But we're very quick to point out others' faults. Ask the Lord, search your heart. Look at the practical nature of this matter. It says, let your light so shine. Do what you can to make that light shine. Now, if it was an oil lamp, the wick needed to be trimmed. Otherwise, there was a lot of black smoke going up and you were defeating the purpose of having a light. If it was a lantern inside glass, the glass needs to be cleaned. Otherwise, the light won't shine out. And friend, sin obscures. So I'm asking the question, what needs to be removed from your life and my life that we might shine? Light cannot reflect off a dirty surface, but it will shine brightly off a clean one. And same with our lives, friend. Christ will not be seen in a filthy, sinful life. You think of a Christian coming out of a public house with a drink in their hand and engaging in language and in behavior and with a group of people have no time for God and claiming to be of Christ. Friend, there's not one iota of Christ-likeness about that at all. Oh, I ain't going in, you know, to be a witness. Nonsense. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. The practical nature is this. If there's something in your life that is sinful or wrong, then you're not shining the way you ought to be shining. Friend, keep short accounts with God. Keep the lamp burning brightly. Then the purpose of this matter, it says, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your life will shine when you're obedient to the Lord. Those good works are simply acts of obedience unto the Lord, activities that you're carrying out in the name of the Lord and the power of God for the glory of God. Friend, if you're living for God, you will live a beautiful life. That's what that word good means. It means beautiful, valuable, virtuous, honest. And friend, if there's an honest life, if there's a virtuous life, a valuable life, a beautiful life, friend, people will see it. And what is the result, the desired result of people seeing such a life? That they will glorify God. Now, you see the word works. It means to toil, to labor. So we have to work at this. It's not for the lazy. It's not for the faint-hearted. But you work well for God. You give him your all, 100%. And here's what will happen. That man might glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That word means to give honor and to magnify. And friend, that's what our desire is. That through our lives, people will say, what a Savior. We don't live before men that they'll come and pat us on the back. First of all, we don't want or need the pat of the world or the approval of the world. And the second thing is this, many a person who praises you is very quick to hammer you and stab you after they praised you. Friend, we live for Christ. I love the words of this hymn, not I but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I but Christ, be seen, be known and heard. Not I but Christ in every look and action. Not I but Christ in every thought and word. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. And friend, this morning, what God's word is saying here, ye are the light of the world. Keep your life clean that you might reflect my glory. Keep your life clean that Christ might be seen. Keep your life clean that all others may be pointed to Calvary. May God grant that there be a cleaning of our lives today before we leave this building, that we might shine for him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Thank you, Lord, for the practical lessons. Help us, Lord, to hear the principles of thy word, to apply them to our hearts. May God be glorified in our lives. May our light shine bright for thee. O God, come, we pray, and bless this testimony. Whatever, Lord, would mar or obscure the glory of God being seen within, Lord, take it away, put it under the blood, that we might shine brightly for Christ. Lord, maybe there's one here, they're walking in darkness this morning. Oh, bring them to the light of the world today. Bring them to the one who loved them and gave himself for them. May they be saved by the grace of God. Bless our time around the communion table, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.